Have you ever had a glimpse inside the life of what a very intense special needs caregiving experience is like? Have you known a family, maybe a neighbor or someone at church, and they had a child with profound disability, but you really didn't know anything about them? You didn't know how to get to know them. Today, I want to give you a very special peek into a life of a beautiful family that I cherish. Stacy Mealy and I both have children with very profound disabilities, and our lives have not been ones of simplicity. They have not been Pinterest type lives, but we want to open our doors into our homes, into our marriages, into our parenting, and just give you a glimpse of what it's like to live in a life that requires resiliency, that requires looking for the silver lining, and to show you that despite all the challenges, we can find joy, we can have hope, and we do need help and we do need community. And it's not always easy for us to express what that looks like. And so I hope today's episode will be one that will feel like a big hug, feel like an open welcome mat into our lives and into the lives of those in your community who need you, so that you can truly understand and be somebody who blesses another family like I know you long to do. And so if you know a family that has a special needs child or grandparents who have a special needs grandchild, I hope you will find that person and you will just reach out to share this episode with them, because I want to encourage them. I want them to know they're not alone, and I know you want that for them too. All right. Welcome. Hey mamas, welcome to Her Home and Heart podcast. Do you want balance in your home life and peace in your heart at the end of each long day? Do you want to let go of feelings of failure because you've yelled at the kids again despite promising yourself and God you'd stop? I'm Katie. I'm a homeschooling mom who also had little kids and wanted to create a thriving home environment. In this podcast, you'll find resources for holistic living, heart connection with your family, and homeschooling so that you won't wake up to regret one day. Even if you have outside-the-box learners or your own health challenges, you'll find support here. Breathe deeply, grab a coffee, and let the kids go play, because it's time for you to find peace and fulfillment that you've been longing for. Let's go! Hello today, everybody. I'm so excited to bring to you my friend, Stacy Mealy. We have been friends actually from a distance for quite some time because of our common thread of having children with special needs. Stacy is originally from Bulgaria. She's the mom of three absolutely beautiful children. And just like me and many of you, she's trying to navigate through the life challenges that we all have the best way she can with love and family in mind. Stacy, I'm so honored that you were willing to come and chat with me and to share and encourage our audience today. I know this took a lot of time out of your day, and I really appreciate it.
Katie, thank you for inviting me, and I'm so excited to be here.
Good. So you and I have had lots of conversations over the years, and none of them ever, of course, long enough for me. We could talk for,
And we have over the phone.
Yes, we have. So, you know, a lot of topics have come up, and some of the things we were talking about just today and this week were just the areas of struggle that special needs families seem to have, and the common thread, you know, that families seem to struggle in marriage when they have all this extra burden on them and stress from caregiving. Sometimes the siblings can end up with bitterness or, you know, superpowers. Some of the families we run into, finances can be a problem, self-care. And even the topic I had not thought of that you brought up to me is the self-fulfillment. So I'd love to dig into your story just so that people can know about you, and then we can start chatting about your life.
Sure. I'm a talker, so I'll try to be brief, but you can certainly interrupt me. Just a little bit about me and the family. As you mentioned, I came from Bulgaria. I was 19, so that was back in 2000. And I actually met Chris right away. So we worked together pretty young. So we've been together for over 20 years. As you can imagine, we've been through everything together. I always like to say we kind of grew up together as well. I've had miscarriages, I've had losses. I do have three living children, just beautiful souls. Jaden, who will be almost 15, Vanessa, who is 12, and then we have Ava, who just turned 5. Right before Ava, I actually had a stillbirth at 24 weeks, pretty dramatic. I delivered her on Easter. I do have strong faith. I believe in God. So I feel like I find peace in knowing that that was the one of the days that she actually was kind of brought to us for a very short moment just to see her. It was pretty hard deciding whether we wanted to try again, but I was strongly determined to have three children. So we got pregnant with Ava right away. Everything went well. All the tests were fine. And then week 20, my water broke. We went into the hospital. They said that she's not viable. They actually suggested I terminate her and deliver her again, stillbirth or shortly after that. They said usually within 48 hours, labor starts, so you will lose her. But one nurse actually pulled me aside and she said, you go home and you don't move. So we just did exactly that. And by the grace of God, we made it 6.5 weeks. And she was born at 26 weeks and 3 days. Everything was fine at the beginning, but eventually they did an ultrasound of her head and they saw that she had brain bleeds, which led to hydrocephalus. We were transferred to Johns Hopkins. She had her first brain surgery around 30 weeks. She was 4 pounds. It was pretty intensive. Didn't work. Then she had another brain surgery. Just long story short, she is diagnosed with cerebral palsy. She's a quadriplegic. She has uncontrolled epilepsy and she has hydrocephalus. She's had 15 brain surgeries because of the shunt infections in the brain, finding the placement. She's been in 6 times now, put in a medical coma due to status seizures, the last up to 3.5 hours before they actually paralyzed her. She has had a lung lobectomy. She had overinflamed part of the lung. So 1/3 of her right lung is missing or it's removed. She's been through other surgeries, but she's a joy. She smiles and you know, you've seen her smile as big as life itself. She's changed the life of not just us, but, you know, everybody that gets to meet her. I think it's cliche to say it, but she's just a bright girl with a huge smile that changes everybody's life that gets to meet her and see her. Short story, that's pretty much it. And now here we are 5 years into our journey.
Yes, she does have the most radiant smile. And it's always amazing to me as I watch you guys, you know, in and out of the hospital, and you are very good and faithful about helping all of us who are praying for you and worried for Ava to keep us informed. And when she wakes up and she's smiling, she just brings tears to our eyes because she, I don't know, the strength inside of her on this journey to see her smiling, she is just such a joy. She really does. I have to say that's something I've noticed as a theme through all the special needs children who have these major challenges that I've met is that they bring such an opportunity for us to feel joy and to give love and to receive love in a way that is not easily understood. It is so deep and so wide. You know,
I completely agree.
Yeah.
We've had several times we've been in the hospital because, like you said, we go in and out for so many reasons. We've been in hospital during her birthdays, during Christmas, during Thanksgiving. And while you're in there, you get to see other kids. You get to see a different perspective. And we always tell ourselves, as soon as we get out of here, we're going to just enjoy life. Pure joy in the purest form and sense there is. And it doesn't mean that we will spend money and go somewhere and do things. It means that you live in the moment. When you're out of the hospital, you just get to slow down and really see that smile for what it is, because you've seen her fight for her life 5 days ago, right? So I completely agree with you.
Yeah. It's a club none of us ever expected to get voted into, but it happened. And it definitely changes the perspective of everyone who gets to interact with one of these amazing children. And I had a woman who I just adore. She's a mother of a couple of adult kids with special needs. And she said she just feels like that they never were detached from God's umbilical cord. That was her way to describe her. You know, yeah. And I
And I sometimes I say you have first row to a miracle, just first row seats. It's so true. Yeah, I don't think it's impossible to explain it, right, Katie? It's impossible to explain the feeling, but sometimes, and this might sound a little odd, but sometimes I feel like I wish everybody would experience the blessings and see the world through my eyes. And sometimes I feel sorry for the people that can't, because it's a feeling you can't explain. It's a feeling that it's totally, it overwhelms you. It gives you so much understanding of what life is truly about. And, you know, in a in some moment I feel sadness, right? Because it doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to, for us to experience the saddest part of life there is, right? To lose a child, to see that, to give all that hopes and all these dreams of your child, and just, you know, give them away. But it's like this, the reason why we are experiencing this is to see the joy, the highest joy there is when that actually happens. And I wish it wasn't the case, but there's moments that I feel so blessed.
Absolutely. And that's something that most people just don't understand. And it doesn't come without, like you said, the grieving and the loss and the hardships that we will discuss. But there is such a blessing and a joy that I wish everyone could completely comprehend, because it is life changing and unexpected in a hard, hard circumstance.
I agree. Yeah.
Before we continue with today's chat, I want to sincerely invite you to come over to Facebook and join our group and our community. I would love to carry a conversation with you over there and interact with you and have you get to know the other beautiful families that are inside of our private community. Go to the description. You'll see a link at the very bottom where you can easily click and go ahead and join our group. I look forward to seeing you inside. Yeah. So you and Chris have been together a long time, and you guys are one of the rare couples within the community of those of us that have children with challenges that have a good, strong marriage. And a lot of folks have asked Steve and I, and I'm sure you guys probably get asked too, how do you do it? What's the difference? Why aren't you guys breaking up and divorcing like many of the families who end up with this kind of high stress level?
Great question. And I'll have to say that there have always been moments where, you know, you're not on the same path in the journey. I strongly believe that men and women grieve differently, handle situations differently. What has worked in our marriage? Of course, there's several things. We always discuss, we're always open with each other. There have been times we'll yell at each other, absolutely. But we don't just keep it to ourselves. We try to point out what we don't appreciate, what we don't like. Of course, that's not to say that we could have said it differently, you know, but I think communication is very important. The other thing that has worked for us, and I feel like this probably naturally happened, is this teaming. I call it teaming, and I don't know if people that have just one kid is probably differently, but with us, and you probably also have faced that, we have to be in five different places at the same time. So it's naturally has developed this teaming partnership outside. I think what marriage is all about as well, right? You're in it together, you're one team, you have to make it work, and you've got to communicate and figure it out. We were thrown at this, like you said, pretty unexpected. Life was fine before that. But the moment, and I haven't shared a lot of this, but I've always had the feeling that I will be a special needs mom. And I've always had the feeling that it was going to be a child with Down syndrome. But when Ava, we knew she was going to be our last, we did all the testing, it came back fine. And finally, I was like, I can relax, right? I can actually share this. And I had never shared that even with Chris. And I mentioned it to him, and he said, because I said, you know, I've always had that feeling and I don't know, but now she doesn't have Down syndrome. And he's like, babe, if it was to happen, what better family than ours, right? We will love her and we'll take care of her. And I feel like that's the reason why we stay together. It's like this sense of we are in it together and we're going to get through this together, whatever it takes, right? If you have that mindset, even in the moments of lowest, when we were in the hospital and they were telling us we weren't sure if ever was going to make it, we're still together. We're going to be together. We're going to be there for each other. And the rest is just a matter of kind of getting through the storm. Does that make sense? If you know that that person will hold your hand,
yes,
the rest will just be an easier journey. I think that's just how we've handled it. Mm-hmm. I try not to dwell on what coulda, shoulda, woulda. I try not to dwell on the future. We try to be present, and we try to focus on how we can get through the day or, you know, the week. Aside from that, I think we just get through the storms together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You hit on a secret that I wish every couple would understand, whether they have special needs children or not, because I mean, the divorce rate in typical families is still so high that
exactly
open communication, being willing to express what isn't good and what is good, to, like you said, hold each other's hand through the hard things and to be there for each other. You know, our family jokingly will call ourselves Team Keen, and we'll say, you know, our motto is similar to the Three Musketeers, all for one and one, you know, one
exactly.
for all and all for one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we aren't open about what we don't care for, but we're careful about how we say it. We always try to consider the other person's intent, even when things maybe came out wrong, and just be there. It's a level of commitment, you know? Yeah, it's very important, and it can be developed. It is a skill. I don't believe it's something that, you know, only a few of us can have. I believe it's a skill that we just learn and we choose.
Exactly. I think through experience is definitely, I mean, you bring your child home after a diagnosis, and we both look at each other and we're like, now what, right? But 2 o'clock in the morning, the alarm goes off, both of us jump, right? It's one of those things that you're in it together. So whether that means through the tougher times, or when you're laughing, you're sharing those moments and you learn and you grow from that. I think that we still have a lot of growing. I think that there are things that we are yet to experience, but together is probably the word that I would describe as how you have to view everything. And when both, it's not just the parents, all of the members in the family pull their way together, it feels like it works, right? Because you know, we're on a program that everybody helps, and that's what unites family, things like that. It's not when you're in good days, it's when you're in bad days that you see how you guys are working and what we can do, how we can change, how we can improve, but it's the togetherness.
Yes. And the parents model that for the children. Our children are also very much part of our team and
yeah.
helping with our little guy. And it's incredible because they chose it. We didn't ask, you know, we have family chores and routines, but they choose to interact and love on and, you know, give a helping hand to their brother who needs them. And it's because we've modeled it. And I'm sure that's how it is for you all.
Yeah, I think we have a teenager. Jaden is a little harder to be involved, but he's the sweetest kid with the biggest heart. And when we have to do something, he'll get it done, even if that means away from his computer and his games. But you know, there are moments that I'll look at them and he'll play with her and she'll be laughing, cracking up. And it's in those moments I know that if something was to happen, she'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've heard many stories on the topic of siblings, many parents who will end up on the other side where their kids are grown. And, you know, you hear one or the other. You hear, oh, my child's so bitter. They won't talk to me anymore. You know, they're bitter because I spent all this time with their sibling. They felt like they should have had just as much time. And then I hear other parents who say, oh, no, my child has this extra ability to be compassionate, to give, to love others, to see through. And I know my children, if we're out, when we've been out in public or in waiting rooms at therapy offices, doctor's appointments, et cetera, it doesn't matter now at this point with my children, and it has not for years. If someone is in a wheelchair, if someone has cerebral palsy and cannot speak, if, you know, any of the different disabilities, because of these experiences, my children have been able to start seeing through the person's broken body into the person's soul. And it seems that families either go one way or the other. And there's such an opportunity for these children to grow up compassionate, you know, and I don't know. Do you have any insight into the secrets?
So I'm going to share this. My probably, if I was to say where my weakness is my kids and my older too. I'm very sensitive. Every time somebody asks me about it, I get to cry. Now I'm holding tears back. It's probably me. I feel guilt on many aspects. When Ava was born, they were, 8 and 6. So they were in that time of their life where they were not quite aware of what's going on, right? And I still don't think in true sense they realized that she will not walk, that she will not talk in a normal sense, right? Ava uses an eye gaze, so I'm pretty sure she'll communicate, but sometimes they don't realize the severity of this. And I always say they should, right? They should be kids. I feel like they should get to be just regular kids, but they're not. God chose them for a reason. I feel the guilt of not being with them more during those younger years. As you know, Ava's journey is very hard. I'm sure that, you know, everybody's journey is hard. Ours is just demanding a lot of times away from home, whether that's therapy or whether that's hospitalizations. And I wasn't here all the time for them. And I blinked and they're teenagers, right? And I've seen them go through having to call 911, having to experience her having seizures, seeing us going through the craziness of having to help her so she has oxygen and all that stuff. And I feel like they shouldn't have done this, but I understand that they're bigger people for that. Vanessa, for the last 2 years, has missed her birthdays. Like, there were no celebrations. Ava would be in the hospital. She didn't have parties. She didn't have kids over. And it's like during her times when she wants to have the friends over, she wants to have birthdays. But that child has not once complained. Not once. She blow her candles with mama singing and her brother being home and three of us. And she'll get some birthday presents and that was it, right? And she'll come home and she'll say, "Mom, you'd be so proud of me. I defended this kid that they were making fun of today," you know? And it's just in her. She's very compassionate. She loves her sister. I see them grow and they make me so proud, but I also feel like I wish they had experienced what a normal child would, right? And that I'm not saying normal in the sense that they're not. They're all neurotypical, but it's just their child years in their childhood that they've missed, that I could have been better, I could have improved. And it's probably more me, more internal struggle than anything else. That's in a nutshell, they're just amazing kids. And I'm pretty sure that the siblings of any special kid are special themselves and they deserve the world in so many aspects of life. Yeah.
100%. And I think that your heart that you pour out into them and what brings you to tears here is what is going to ensure that they're the ones that have that incredible compassion. You know, yeah. I see all the things you guys do together and, you know, you guys are a tight family and I believe that will carry them through. And then the rest of it's their decision, just like it is with my kids. We've had similar experiences. You know, we used to, before all the heavy special needs, we used to go travel to grandparents' houses and have big parties with cousins and all that stuff. Exactly. And now we do a week of birthday because we can't even fit all of our own family stuff in on the same day. And our kids
exactly
love
right.
You know, just like you, Steve and I have had many teary talks where, you know, it's not what we dreamed. It's not what we dreamed for them. And yet there is, as we firmly believe, God has a bigger, better reason. And we just have to trust that even when it feels bad. I know that you and I are not unique in this. I know this is a pretty much across the board sensation that parents experience in this situation.
And I don't know how you feel, Katie, but I feel like there's a lot of people that I hear in our community that say, I don't know if the first one is the child with the special needs. I don't know if I should have a sibling. I don't know for those reasons. Or is it just going to be time away from the actual child that needs all these needs? Is it going to be a complement to our family, right? And I truly believe, now I love kids, so I might be just biased, but I truly believe that the siblings enhance life of the special need as well. So if I was to say, based on the experience I have and I've seen my kids, it's not just the aspect of the neurotypical kids growing and being more compassionate and see that spark in her when she's playing with her siblings. I see that, you know, kind of like jump of like wanting to do more, wanting to do all that stuff. Yep. So definitely enhances their life in ways that I can't do, right? I can't provide that for her. So I'm a huge advocate for, if there's ever a question, my choice would be, my vote would be for yes, absolutely, for siblings.
Me too. And actually years ago, when I had an in-home therapist coming to help my daughter, and she was little, the therapist actually said she would not be doing most of what she's doing if she didn't have a brother she wanted to keep up with.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I feel like it's exactly that. They're like, oh, you're doing this? Let me try that myself, right? Mm-hmm. Or when we were first starting Ava down the crawling apparatus, Vanessa would be at the bottom and she'll be like encouraging her and she'll be doing stuff with her because she was six and she was so excited to do stuff with Ava. And Ava was like, oh, I'm coming to you, right? What's going on? Let's play together. So it wasn't all mommy. I feel like so much more of what Ava can do is because looking up to her siblings and wanting to do stuff with them.
Mm-hmm. Same here. I definitely believe those siblings have superpowers that if they choose to use them, it will change the world anywhere that they are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So all of us, we know most special needs families are not wealthy. Some are, but all of us end up with a lot of extra expenses, a lot of extra therapies and trips that we need to take and that sort of thing. And, you know, I've not personally unraveled the solution for this, but I've seen the problem. I've seen a lot of families living in almost an oppression level life because they can't afford the therapies. If they make too much money, then they're not going to be given the therapies. It's a real problem. It's a real problem. And finances are oftentimes the number one strain on a marriage to begin with, even before special needs. And the number one cause that miscommunication is why people divorce most of the time. So how do you two, you and Chris, manage that extra? How do you manage just those conversations? How do you manage, you know, bringing in enough that you can actually help support all the extra therapies and trips and that sort of thing? Do you guys have any secrets to that?
Yeah, and there is no formula in my world as well. So this is what we did. We've always lived within our means. I remember there being times we had to call our college student loans, you know, on deferment just to make ends meet. But overall, we have always lived within our means. Now, with Ava coming on board, you know, I can't even imagine. Just to be probably honest and fair, we spend between $30,000 and $50,000 out of our pocket a year for Ava. You know, we travel a lot. When we travel, we try to stay in the places that are the cheapest places. I've actually stayed in people's basements for free, called nonprofit organizations, anything we can. But aside from that, when we started this journey, we realized insurance doesn't cover all of these non-traditional things. And Ava has more than one diagnosis. And the whole reason we travel is primarily for her cerebral palsy. You know, we've done a lot of stem cells. That's also for epilepsy and just inflammation within the brain and the body. We sit down and we said this, we're not going to be able to cover everything. Let's give ourselves 6 months devoted to one therapy. See if we have results. And I don't know how Steve is, but Chris is very skeptical in nature. He's an engineer, so he needs facts. He needs data. And it's a he's a great complement of what I am not. And I think, I don't know if that's how you were, but at the beginning of my journey, I just wanted to do everything people mentioned. And a lot of the times, now going back, I've realized there's this wishful thinking in our minds that we think that something is helping and we'll just tell other people and we're just going to feel guilty if we didn't try it. So that's not to say I haven't spent money that I shouldn't have spent, but we said, and we're like, okay, we're going to have to figure this out. It's not going to be manageable. So we said 6 months of therapy, let's both reconvene. Let's see what everybody else says, right? Therapists around us, people like that. If we see enough improvement to where we're going to outweigh the benefits, we're going to focus on that. If it doesn't, we're going to push that away and focus on something else because we couldn't do everything at once. So slowly but surely, within 5 years now, we know what works for Ava. We know what works for our family. Of course, COVID was a blessing and not in so many ways. So we got to stay home more. We continue to save money, right? We make sure that there's a certain amount of money out of our paychecks that goes to Ava's fund, we call it. So we got to save up a little bit of money throughout the last 2 years. So we're going to get to have that travel plans now realizing soon. But this is what we did before COVID. And it kind of worked for us to understand what worked and what didn't for her. And from there on, we focus our finances on that. There have been many times, there are nonprofit organizations I've shared with you as well that have funded certain things. There's also in Maryland, you know, the grant list that we have utilized as well for many of the internal therapy equipment that we have used. We did a garage fundraising sale as well, yard sale that was very successful. So there's other things that we have kind of used to supplement small amounts. But aside from that, you definitely try to figure out what small amount you can put aside and have that conversation. Like we said, have that conversation of what works. And the most important thing is progress. I don't want people to feel guilty if they can't make that happen. But if they focus on one thing, I've always tried to rely a lot on myself. That's the reason why we took the program that we've talked about. It's a lot of it is relying on you and what you can do. I like that. I like the fact that I can do a lot of the therapies at home that I learn and I know what to do. Seeing progress, a lot of the times the progress or the therapist is that consistency, that frequency of what you're doing, right? Aside from that, there is no formula. This is what we've been doing and it works for us, I think.
Yep, we agree. It's all got to be unique to your own set of circumstances, but definitely being creative, getting really scrappy, seeking the help you can when you can, and making hard decisions because just like you, it is hard as a mother with a mother's heart to not want to do anything that you think your kid could benefit from when you love that child. Yes. And it is good to have the voice of reason, these wonderful husbands to say, look into the details of that a little bit more first, you know?
Yeah. Give me some medical clinical studies, anything of that sort I can read.
Yes. It is for good. Sure. It is good. And I think, you know, again, it goes right back to, like you mentioned, just communication and being willing to listen openly to each other, not get defensive because the other one doesn't seem to be supporting you right now.
There have been times when I'm like, no, sorry to interrupt you, but he'd be like, no, we're not doing it. And I'm like, oh, yes, we are. Sometimes I will be winning, but yes, we are. And he's like, okay, let's buy it.
Yeah.
So There have been times when you have to push a little more, but he's definitely grounded me a few times. Like, no, it's not working. We're not doing this.
Yeah, and I feel that both of us at least have husbands who are just as much in support of getting our children to have the most high, you know, the highest quality of life as possible. They're not against us. And we have to keep that in mind. And I think in any marriage, that's important. Your spouse is not your enemy. You know, even if you have to say that to yourself 1,000 times, your spouse is not your enemy. Because if you know for a fact that you married someone who's not your enemy, it's good to keep that in mind in the hard conversations.
Today's episode is sponsored by Her Home and Heart Method Course, where homeschooling families are creating a holistic home ecosystem so that they can thrive. In 2023, this course will be released, and we will dig into the nest system, where we will cover the 4 most important areas of home life that will easily be tweaked and help you to create a peaceful, joyful, thriving home environment and a home ecosystem where you can, no matter how much grief or pain or trouble there is in your life and in lives around you and in the world around you, you can create a place that is an emotionally, mentally, and physically safe and healthy place of rest, a place that honors God, that honors your family, and that will carry down through generations of your family to come. So in 2023, we will be launching the Her Home and Heart Method course, and I cannot wait to see you there. I hope you found the first part of this talk with Stacy to be informative and comforting and encouraging. I'm really looking forward to finishing up this conversation. Stacy and I are going to talk about marriage, burnout, self-care, raising the siblings of special needs children, how you can find work-life balance, or if that's possible, our identity, mental health, and even the secret to happiness in motherhood during intense circumstances. And all of this applies to anybody, whether you have a special needs child or not. So hopefully you can learn from our pressure cooker in the remainder of this conversation. And I look forward to seeing you then in the next episode. Thanks for listening and spending time with us today.
If you know anyone who could benefit from my mom's podcast, please share it and leave a review so others can find us too.
See you next time.